Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the Two Guys Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. This is Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, Noob of All Trades. Right now I'm reading Dragons of Deceit, the latest Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman Dragonlance book. In this episode, I'm going to recap and give my thoughts on Chapter 11. Book 2 and Chapter 11 open with old friend Jesterius trying to commit a difficult spell to memory. Though he placed a wizard lock over the study and demanded that nobody disturb him, of course, somebody does. He ends up taking the visitor, Dalimar, a dark elf wizard, and his old friend, because the news he brings is, of course, dire. Weis and Hickman weave some history of magic on Kryn before letting us in on this particular hook. The two friends share a drink, and Dalimar explains. A rogue wizard, Ungar, caused quite a disturbance. First, he stole a book. Then, they found him tortured with a crudely written warning pinned to his person. Dalimar calls for a cleric of Mashako to heal him. As a dark elf, she asks him to leave the room because she's afraid that he will disturb her healing spell. He explores the mage's shop and finds a clock. The theme of time continues to develop. Dalimar, curious, explores the clock. What he finds concerns him and also Jesterius. The stolen book tells the history of the Grey Gem, created to capture the God of Chaos. When last allowed to roam Kryn, it brought great change to the world, including making some of the races that exist on Kryn. Ever since, it sits dormant and hidden from even the gods because it's so powerful. I don't remember how it got hidden. The story is told in one of the short stories or one of the novellas from the past, but I don't remember exactly how it was hidden or why it was hidden, whether it hid itself or whether it was hidden by somebody. But because it's so powerful, they hid it so that not even the gods could find it and thus prevent them from unleashing its power. How does that relate to a clock? Well, as you may have guessed, this is no ordinary clock. It is a powerful magical artifact. Printed on the face are 100 years. When set and the key turned, the clock gives the user a glimpse of that particular year. What Dalimar and Ungar before him, and maybe even others before them, saw was the world of Kryn changed forever. The Grey Gem, found and cracked open, released chaos upon the world and rendered it unrecognizable to those who saw the vision. It mentions that instead of the three moons in the sky, Kryn has three moons, a white, a red, and a black moon that act as spheres of influence over magic. And in the particular vision, they saw the only one moon, no longer the three moons, and also the stars, which are constellations representing the gods, much as they are on planet Earth. They were also in an unrecognizable positions and patterns, so they could no longer see the constellations of the gods in the sky. And that is how they knew that Kryn had been changed. Even though it was the world, it wasn't the world that they knew. So the Grey Gem came through and changed things again, this time possibly for the worse. Ungar, therefore, somewhat nobly, wants to find the Grey Gem to prevent this catastrophe. Instead, he may have unwittingly set events in motion to cause it. They talk about how people should not know the future. When Dalimar looks into the clock and sees this particular future, they say how people should not see the future, because if they do, they may try to prevent it, and by some perverse way, they actually end up causing it. And that's what seems to have happened here, is that Ungar set into motion the plan that is going to lead to the Grey Gem being released and causing this catastrophe. After admitting, very much to Jesterius' chagrin, that he used a true spell on Ungar to no avail, he promises to get the information even if he must use nefarious means to do so. Jesterius basically takes an out-of-sight, out-of-mind approach to this revelation. He is not opposed to getting the information from Ungar, but he is opposed to using a true spell. They say that once you start delving into a person's mind, that violation is difficult to come back from, and they really don't encourage that sort of behavior, even for magic users that can do it. But since Ungar destroyed the clock and the book, Justarius feels that in this case, the ends justify the means, and he basically convinces himself that Dalimar will do things that he's not comfortable with, but as long as he doesn't know about them, and as long as Dalimar is mostly discreet about them, then he's okay with whatever it takes to get the information so that they can try to protect the Grey Gem from falling into evil hands. Now for my thoughts on the chapter. Mercifully, we get a break from poor Destina and her tragedy-filled life. You also get a break from me complaining about her character. I've been a bit harsh on Destina as a character over the last couple of chapters. I think I said that I really don't care that much about her or her character or what happens, and that's kind of making it tough for me to continue reading the book. But you get a break from that, at least for this episode. We'll see what happens in chapter 12. In her place, as I mentioned, we get a couple of major side characters from Dragonlance history helping to advance the story. I must admit that after chapter 10, I wanted a reason to keep reading, so I looked ahead and I saw Justarius' name at the beginning of this chapter. I might have considered skimming the chapter if we just got more of Sad Sack Destina. Thankfully, Weiss and Hickman must have anticipated some fatigue on the part of readers. Especially if you like Destina, you're probably a bit fatigued at her constantly getting crapped on. They switched gears to the conversation between the two magic users to give us a bit of a break from Destina, no matter how we feel about her. Not mentioned in my synopsis, but we do get a mention of Raistlin by way of Dalimar. I think they only included this part to put in the back of our minds that they aren't afraid to take their characters into a dark place, because otherwise it adds little to the story. They mentioned that Raistlin tortured Dalimar because he found out that he was ultimately working against him. So other than, again, showing us that they're not afraid to take characters to a dark place and perhaps foretelling Destina's turn to the dark side, that's the only reason that I can see for them including it. Unless, of course, they plan on bringing Raistlin back. If Destina gets her hand on the Time Turner, or whatever it's called, I think the Time Turner is Harry Potter, there are several places in history where she can run into him. But, as I often do, I digress. I already mostly gave my thoughts about this chapter. I appreciate the break from Destina. I hope they continue to focus on other parts of the story for at least a little bit. Perhaps absence will make the heart grow fonder, and I will like and care more about her character when they come back after a couple of chapters. I knew you all will feel better not having to listen to me complain about her character for a few episodes. I like where they took the story. They leaned into the theme of time. Now, as a rule, I hate time travel. So, of course, I'm now going to give you a list of acceptable time travel scenarios. 1. Back to the Future. I like how they handled the quote-unquote future being changed by events in the past. For a long time, I argued that the only ones who did time travel right were Back to the Future. And really, I argue that only them and my second example have done time travel correct. 2. The Avengers. Armed with the knowledge of quantum theory and time manipulation, the writers were able to give us a better concept of time travel and how it works, and with the alternating timelines and that sort of thing. They sort of went in that direction with it, which I personally think is a better way of doing it, and I think how things should work, where if we change things now, it doesn't change the future necessarily, it changes our future, and then that gives us an opportunity to have other ways to travel. I have this conversation sometimes when I talk about Flatland with my geometry students and sometimes my algebra students, where if we think about travel, we can travel in 3 dimensions in space, but we're really only able to travel in 1 dimension, 1 direction in time. We cannot go back in time, and we can't even go sideways in time, where if we were able to go sideways in time or even up and down in time, if you think about it that way, then it opens up the opportunity for these other timelines to exist, and we could sidestep into another timeline and see how the decisions would affect what's going on and perhaps even exist permanently in that timeline. You might argue that my last example is not even an example of time travel, and I would consider that argument, but I really like the show, and after talking about it, I want to go back and watch it again. I know they did a newer series with, I think it's the guy from the Blockbuster show. I'm not 100% sure, but I might check that one out too before I go back and rewatch the old series. I'm talking about Quantum Leap. Now with Quantum Leap, instead of actually manipulating time, he's more displacing somebody from their own time and can only manipulate their limited sphere of influence of the person whose body he displaces for a time. Dragonlance, for their part, falls mostly in the Quantum Leap category with some of the Marvel shenanigans thrown in. So I'm all for Weiss and Hickman taking us on an adventure through time. As a bonus for them, they get to introduce a new generation to these characters and sell more books. Good on them. The more Dragonlance stuff that you buy, the more Dragonlance stuff that we get, and I'm a happy camper. That's it for this episode. As always, thanks for listening. If you're reading along with me, leave a comment on the webpage. You can also, when you go to the webpage, www.twoguysgaming.net, you can find all of our information, our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch, which will be up and running in March. The YouTube will. I'm not sure about the Twitch. I'm kind of planning that out as we go along. We are also on Twitter. Did I mention Twitter? Mostly Twitter is just news of what's going on the website. So if you bookmark the website and come back regularly, you will not have to follow our Twitter very much. Our Instagram sometimes has our shenanigans when we're playing games, and that gets cross-posted to my Facebook. If you've already read the book and you want to clue me in on some things that I should be looking for, you can also do that. I don't find spoilers to be a big deal, so spoil away if you want to. I think I mentioned on the last episode, or maybe the previous episode, that maybe the next book I'm going to read is Ready Player One, so I have to kind of plan it out. I did a search yesterday after reading this chapter, and I saw that the next book is coming out in August for this series, so I have to plan out and see if I can finish this one and Ready Player One before I go into the next book in this series. That'll give us a nice little break between the two Dragonlance books. Episode 10 with Chapter 12 comes on Thursday of this week. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are...